Welcome, everyone, to the Change Starts Here podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Odom. I'm excited because I have two amazing women next to me that I've worked with for a number of years, but also because, as you heard, I'm sitting next to people, not on Zoom. And so we're doing a live episode, live-ish, I guess we'll say, at the Boost Conference, which is one of the best out-of-school time conferences in the country. It's the 17th year in Palm Springs. And if this is going to be way too much information, this is when Deb Warren's going to call me. But if walking into the bathroom and seeing all the inspirational quotes or the walls are any indication of what this conference is about, I'm really excited to be here and really excited to talk about the work that we have here. So let's dive in. We are focused on our episode today is focused on four central roles of leadership and how we can take that leadership into extended learning time. And I'm just going to introduce our guests. We've got Lori Brooks here, who is been a key person to bringing this to a number of places in California. And so is definitely an expert on this. And Lynn Fox, who may or may not have been part of building the entire content here. And so we've had her on before. She came back. Her favorite song is a Lizzo song that we'll revisit, maybe not in this episode. She hates that I do that, but we're going to dive right in right now. So if you guys could real quickly give a better introduction than what I gave you and just tell you why you're excited to be here talking about this content for extended.
I think I'd start by saying not just this content, but Franklin Covey content. It changes lives, and it certainly has changed our life. And I wish that I'd come across it much earlier in life, which is why I'm so passionate about bringing it into schools and after school spaces in California. I have a daughter who's 7, and when we can impart wisdom from adult perspectives around setting goals and around leadership, I believe that kids can do anything given the correct leadership opportunities. We all know that reading, writing, and math is extremely important. But in my opinion, when kids know how to lead, they can do all of that because they know how to advocate for themselves. They know how to ask the right questions. They know where to go to get the information that they need. And so my passion comes through leadership. And I think Franklin Covey does a really great job of instilling leadership in adults and then in children.
Yeah, so for me, I've been in the field of education for over 30 years and worked at all levels, right? Classroom, administrator, district level, US level. I've even worked somewhat internationally. And what's super exciting for me is I never saw myself really working in the extended learning space before school, after school, summers. It was, you know, education, my eye was on that daytime. Does that make sense? And then I had this amazing opportunity that came about where getting to partner with Franklin Covey and building content for summers and after school. And I just fell in love with the people that do this work and the impact that they can make in the lives of kids, in families, in our young adults. Like the work you all do in extended learning is so impactful in life, and it touches the lives of everyone. And so that's why I'm here, is marrying the amazing work of these wonderful professionals in this space along with the amazing content of Franklin Covey.
All right. So Lynn, I'm actually just going to let you get started. I'm curious. I don't want the definition of how we do stuff in training. I'm curious, when you hear the four essential roles of leadership.
So we all talk about the word leadership all the time, but we're all not on the same page of what that means. We have different paradigms or belief systems or skill sets. And many people study leadership for years trying to figure out what it is. Well, Franklin Covey has done this phenomenal job of creating this framework that brings it down to four essential roles that have belief systems and practices that really allow leaders, both the formal leader and us everyday leaders, to just become super effective and efficient at what we do, both to help ourselves as well as change lives.
I think we've talked in the Marine Building Chart for over 13 years now, and I would say it's definitely... Seven Habits is obviously our favorite content, but I would say this is right near the top for me. And so I'm just going to start off. We're going to dive deep. So let's start off with the first role, is to inspire trust. Lori, can you give us a little bit of a background on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that trust impacts everything. And I would look out into the audience and think, you know, when we don't have trust, things go much, much slower. So we talk a little bit about the speed of trust, was written by Stephen M. R. Covey. And when we talk about that, we go from leading a team where culture just happens into a place where we're actually leading a team where high trust culture is created intentionally from the inside out. So really being intentional. And when we think about the after school space, it's such an exceptional place for trust to be built. Oftentimes, our kids come to us and they're here for all day before and after school, and they really become part of a system where they can tell people more. They trust you. They come to you with more problems than they might with a teacher, because our school system is set up in such a structured way. And so the after school space, I think, gives an opportunity for kids to really be who they are and for us as leaders to create that trust really quickly. So Lynn, can you expand a little bit on that? What do you think?
For sure. So trust doesn't just happen. We can say you need trust. It doesn't just happen. There are learned behaviors that can really help us. So part of it is, one, you need the character and competence of trust. Character is your integrity, your word. Do you say what you do what you say you would do? Do you follow through? Do you live what you're teaching children to do? That's your character. Competence is, do you hold the skill set for your own life? Like the skills to do your job well. That shows competence. And if you have the competence for the job, people have more trust in you. So marrying character and competence, along with the 13 high trust behaviors that we can wrap our minds and hearts around, and then learn them, apply them, reflect on them, makes all the impact. So with staff, that's what we do. We help our staff, along with the leaders, know how to truly create trust by how we behave, how we speak, how we choose to interact. And even after doing this content for, oh my gosh, how many years, I learn more and more every time I get to work with the power of trust.
So the second role we talk about, and trust, obviously, I'm remiss for trying to have as quick of an episode as possible so we can get to some Q&A. Trust is so critical in everything that we do. And so usually I'd like to spend a lot more time on it, but since we are time limited here, I want to jump into creating vision. What is it and why is it important? I mean, everything we think we know what it is, but how would you define what creating vision and why is it important in this space?
I mean, I do a lot of vision boards, so, you know, that comes into play. So when we think about vision, we want to think about managing people to a job description. So we're going to go from managing people to a job description into engaging a team in meaningful work. So when we do the work that we do, we want to make sure that our team feels like the work that they're doing is really meaningful, that it really is impacting the lives of the kids that we serve. What else do you think about that, Lynn?
Well, there's a way we go about it too. And we have some amazing examples of that here in California. So vision doesn't just, you don't just visualize, you actually have to put pen to paper, right? Pen to paper to create that vision, mission, vision statement that will say, this is what we are achieving and impacting the lives of our program and our kiddos. So I'm gonna give you a great example. So one of our, you know, greatest ones out here is, I'll give it kudos to Fallbrook. If any of you know Fallbrook Unified School District, I'm going to read you theirs. And they collaboratively built this. So they looked at their school district mission and vision. And then they pulled together stakeholders within the after school and summer community and built this to say, so FUESD, after schools, cultivate caring and responsible life-ready leaders within an inclusive environment. Every one of those words have great meaning. And that's the vision that they say, are we doing that? Are we building an inclusive community? Are we building and cultivating caring and responsible life-ready leaders in our kiddos and in our staff? So it's like their compass.
Yeah. And so I hear that at you know, a higher level, right? So when I think about a district level, that is awesome. But I go back to, you know, earlier I had shared my own personal experience at the schools that I went to about how after school care made a huge impact on me as a human today, even, you know, in my 40s. What does that look like on a school site, right? How do they use it? So it's given to them, but how do I make it to be like, not just something that the boss passed down to me, like how do we make it actionable?
I'm really glad you asked that because it's so true, right? We can write the most beautiful statements and then they sit on a piece of paper. You have to make it live. So if it's going to be that guidepost or that compass that guides every decision you're making, which it should, great examples are they reflect on it, they post it, they teach it. And then when you find out about the next one, they also talk about how they align everything to it. So everyone in that community of Fallbrook, they know. If you said, what are we all about? They all can state it. They know what it means. They know what, and they unpack what all those words mean.
Well, can I want to add to that because I was in the session when you worked, one of the sessions that you worked through this, and it was a multiple, everybody in the roles had a part in creating this vision statement, right? It was a full day of work where it wasn't just words on a paper. And I was really interested to hear like some people, some words that people just got really hung up on. And it was like, okay, we can't have that be part of our vision. That isn't what we all want to see in our vision. And so it was such a shared approach with all the stakeholders. And it was actually a really in-depth experience that you really walked them through a protocol. So I think when we think of vision, it really is a living, breathing document where we can go back to it and where, like Lynn said, everyone knows and can feel where we're headed. So it's from the top all the way down to the kids so that they know and they also are part of that vision.
Yeah. So I'm just going to let you naturally build off of that. So we have the vision, right? We inspired trust. We have the vision. Now we know we have to execute strategy, right? What does that mean in this space particularly?
So we want to kind of move from this idea of success comes from the strategy into knowing that enduring success is in the systems. So when we set up a system for success, we know where we're headed. We've got our vision. Now we're moving into a whole system. Like when we talk about Fallbrook, that was a whole system where they really worked through it. And so moving from just the strategy, because strategy is amazing, but we got to push it further into really building the system so that anybody new coming into our system also can relate and knows what where we're headed.
And there's four key elements within that system, right? Because so if you've got that vision statement and that's your compass and that's what you're going, now you have to say, okay, so let's clarify. Roles and responsibilities, we need to align them. Make sure you have a really great organizational chart in your roles and responsibilities because people can't do a job if they don't know what their role and responsibilities are. So we need to clarify that. So step one. Let's really establish well our organizational charts, roles and responsibilities, who reports to who, what makes you successful at the job you do, right? Create and communicate expectations. So if you are that frontline staff member, what should you know and be able to do? Make that really, really clear. And then once they know and that you know and be able to do, you're going to make sure they know you're going to help them, which will come into our next role. But also, if that's your vision statements, you need to identify visions of measures of success. So if you say, we are creating a caring culture, building life-ready leaders in an inclusive environment, how are you measuring that? What measures tell you that you're actually achieving that vision? Attendance, behavior, maybe it's a culture survey. You're asking the families how they feel. You're asking the kiddos how they feel. Are you seeing your children thrive? How are you measuring that? And then also, we need to make sure we provide quality resources to staff. That's in the systems. You can't expect them to do a job with no resources in their hands. Because you often have the most amazing individuals that want to do a good job. We need to equip them for success.
Yeah. So with equipping them, you know, I keep coming back to it. So inspire trust, create vision, execute strategy, And the last one is the coach potential, right? And I think why the schools that I went to had great systems, maybe. The people really helped help me see myself differently and see what was possible. And so I'm curious, our final role is coaching potential. What does that look like in this environment, particularly when you may not have folks that are there every day, or there may be turnover, you're hiring a lot of part-time staff. So I'm just curious, what does coach potential look like in this environment?
It's probably my favorite one because I love coaching. And I feel like that is such a role, especially in the after school space. So we want to move from solving problems by telling other people what to do. And I chuckle because I have a 7-year-old. And as an effective mom, I want to tell her what to do all of the time. And what I've learned, what she's taught me, is that the better way to do that is to develop her leadership and build team members' capacity. So really instilling in others their worth and potential. Stephen Covey, one of my favorite quotes, is leadership is communicating people's worth and potential so clearly that they are inspired to. Leadership is communicating people's worth and potential so clearly that they are inspired to see it in themselves. And I think when I think about the role that we all have here, that's our job as leaders, is to inspire our students to see their worth and potential, because oftentimes they don't see it yet, especially the younger kids. And I would ask you to think about, who was it that saw your worth and potential? Have you ever been tapped on the shoulder to say, hey, have you ever thought about doing this before you knew or thought that you were capable of that job? And often teachers feel that way. Principals, certainly female superintendents, feel it all the time. So really communicating that worth and potential so that kids start to see it. Because once we build that confidence in students, they can do so much more than we ever give them credit for, but it's really inspiring them to see it in themselves before that it can really take off.
Yeah, what I'd add is this, let's remember that in the after school and summer space, a lot of the young adults that are working with kiddos, this may be their first job. When they come with so much heart. So what I love about coaching potential, so one, when we do this well, the four roles on top of the coaching potential, we're going to create sustainability. You're going to have less turnover, right? Because you're going to ensure that you train them on the systems, your expectations, what they should know and be able to do, how things work, behavioral empowerment and management, all of those components, train them. But the second part is coaching on the job. So a training system is being very clear when and how they'll be trained on that calendar based on their level of experience. So they're going to feel so much trust in that and safety in knowing what they're expected to do. But then the best part, going back to that quote, is coaching them on the job, not supervise, coach. Huge difference. You don't want the gotcha. You don't want I'm coming to make sure you're doing it right. I'm coming to coach you and empower you. And what just I get so excited about is we're all here to serve kids. We are serving children and family. When we pour into that frontline staff, we're serving them for their own lives, because this won't be their last job. They might decide to stay in the space for a long time, which is wonderful, right? And the impact of lives. But they also might be a stepping stone. Boy, what they can carry away, then we can pour into them from this. Pour into them so they can take that next step in life, and then pour into them so they can pour into the kids we serve.
When I think, if I could just add one more thing, I think it's so much fun. I work in San Diego, and it's so great to go into a community like when we work in Fallbrook. And we see these young adults who came up through the Fallbrook school system, and now they're back to teach younger kids. And it's so incredible to have a second chance to coach potential in these young adults, who we've taught all the way through up through high school. And then when they come back, it's just such a holistic approach to really, like Lynn said, pouring into the adults so then they can also connect and do all of the things that we've just talked about, inspire trust, inspire confidence, help them see that they can do whatever it is that they want to do and pay that forward. So it's really a holistic approach, which I think is pretty cool.
So I have dictated how this is going to go, which is generally, you, Lynn, you've known me for a long time. It's not how I work. I'm like, oh, just tell me, let's get lost together on this trail. I have two questions. And I'll ask them separately as opposed to cramming it all down. My first question is, what's the best advice you have right now? Somebody who's listening to this podcast or in the room with us, what's the advice that we didn't touch on, or what's advice that you'd want to share if someone, how to take the next step? What is the next step to, you know, if they're listening, that to make some sort of impact using this content today?
Well, I could list a number of books to jump and grab, right? But one is, I think when you have a guide on the side in the process, it really matters. Like, I've been honored to partner with multiple school districts in using the four roles of essential leadership, right, to guide them through all four. Build trust, create the vision, create the strategy, and then coach potential in partnership. Like, there's one district in particular, in my third year getting to be a guide on the side and just unleashing their potential. So, one, get curious and let's seek this out. And two is partnering with people who are experts in this space to help you develop it.
Yeah. I mean, I always go back to the seven habits because they're the basis of everything that we do. And what comes to mind is synergy. I think that we can, no matter what our role is, there is always a place to partner and to synergize with our staff. And I think creating a space where we can ask really great questions, where we can get curious, where we can come together and be creative. The after school space is such a place that we can be creative. It's not so structured. And so there is an opportunity to partner with outside companies, but also to partner within our own communities, where what is it that's out there that can come in here? It's like, let's raise the bar and really come together, because we can create things that are so incredible and so much more than we could on our own. So I think bringing people together to synergize.
Last question, Lynn, we talked about this as you started going down this path. People in this room know the importance and the impact that extended learning time can have on kids in a community, right? But there are still educators out there who are leading schools and districts that this can be an afterthought. Right? This just investing time, energy, money, effort into it. Like, oh, no, we've got to work on reading. It's here. It's just the daytime, as you said earlier. What do you have to say to folks right now who don't clearly see how much impact this can have on the entire district and every kid? What's your encouragement you have for folks?
I mean, I would kind of reiterate, I just think it's an opportunity to extend. It's called extended learning. And it's such a unique situation for us to be able to communicate people's worth and potential and to be able to build trust. I think so much goes on in the after school world that doesn't happen anywhere else, that I think it's a missed opportunity if we are not pouring into the after school, because we're missing out on a big part of these kids' day, and they deserve it. They deserve to be somewhere that's an inclusive community until 6 o'clock, where it's fun with structure. So I just think it's a missed opportunity if we don't pay attention to the after school.
I think I'd just add that the synergy and cooperation is such a missed opportunity if the daytime school district and the after school and summers are not cohesively working together and planning, because we're raising a whole child, right? That child doesn't change who they are in one space to the other. They don't shut off that personality and then they come in, right? And I've seen children in the after school space that that's their lifeline. And I just got chills thinking about three kids, right, that I've seen can't wait to get to their after school space because they feel safe insecure because those staff members see them differently. Well, what an opportunity to leverage this, right? If the communication around some of our kiddos that are not performing well in the school day or struggling is brought to bear, that you can actually really extend that learning, extend that relationship, leverage this whole child throughout that day and grow and learn around that kiddo. Because I know education is hard. Education is messy. It's hard. There's so many pressures. There's so much happening. But the more we collaborate and synergize, the more effective and efficient we can come. But more importantly, a rising tide lifts all ships.
Lynn, Lori, this was awesome. Thank you for making time to be here and invite me out here to California. This is amazing.